This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. There is a lot of pent-up political ambition in this city, which means that one thing is for certain regarding Mayor Tom Menino's decision not to run for re-election. Suddenly, after 20 years, all that ambition now has a place to go. But in classic style, Mayor Menino had something to say about that, too.
I have no plans to pick the person to fill this seat. I just ask that you choose someone who loves this city as much as I do.
Well, who loves you, Boston? We got a lot of folks in the studio who do, perhaps enough to run for the mayor's office. First, John Connolly. He's the city councilor at large who was the first to announce his mayoral candidacy, whether or not Mayor Menino decided to run again. John Connolly, good to see you again.
Thanks, Meghna.
We're also joined today by city councilor Tito Jackson as well. Mr. Jackson, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And councilor Charles Yancey. Mr. Yancey, good to see you as well.
Always a pleasure, and it's just great to see you again.
We're also joined today in the studio by state representative Martin Walsh, Dorchester Democrat, who said last week that he would run for mayor if Tom Menino did not. Mr. Walsh, great to see you.
Thank you for having me today.
So listeners, these are some of the people who will or may run for mayor of the city of Boston. If you have a question for them, call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. But Marty Walsh, let me start with you. Would you care to announce your candidacy here on Radio Boston?
Not today.
And why not?
I'm sorry. That'll come at some point. But today is, we're still after yesterday, reflecting upon Tom Menino. There was a lot written about him, and a lot of people have spoken about him. And when the time's appropriate, I'll be announcing my candidacy for mayor.
Okay, fair enough. Actually, same questions to you, Mr. Yancey and Jackson. You know, your names have been amongst the several that frequently come up when it comes to who might run for mayor. Councillor Yancey, we start with
you. Meghna, Tom and I were elected to the Boston City Council together in 1983, and over the past 3 decades, I've had an opportunity to work with him on many issues, some we agreed on, some we didn't. But I just want to say thank you to Tom Menino and his family for his service and their support. I am in negotiations with my family and some others right now, so I'm not prepared to make an announcement on your program, but you'll be one of the first to know.
I take your point that the most important vote will have to come from the ones you love at home.
I have to win my wife's vote first.
Councilor Jackson?
I too will be discussing this with my family. This is a great day in the city of Boston. It's a new day. But I also do want to give a great deal of credit to the mayor, and not only the mayor, but the staff, the public servants who serve in City Hall, who've done this work over the past 20 years. I think we have a great group of young and talented folks who are doing awesome things and young and awesome new ideas.
Yeah.
Which are,
so I just want to say that I completely understand and agree with you that there's
a lot. I will announce that I am remaining a candidate for mayor. I will remain a candidate. So
John Connolly confirms his candidacy on Radio Boston. I always love breaking news here.
I was hoping to get him with me.
But I wanted to say that, you know, I absolutely understand that there's much to be said about Mayor Menino and his service to the city of Boston, and there will be time and ample opportunity to say that in the coming weeks and months, in fact. But I, today, for the rest of our time together, would like to look forward, actually, because this is a turning point for the city and an important one. So, John Connolly, let me start with you. What do you think sort of the most important things for whomever the next mayor might be are to tackle, come January when that person gets sworn in?
Yeah, I think the number one issue is to transform our Boston public schools, and while they have certainly improved on Mayor Menino's watch, when we look at our ninth graders today, 10 years from now, only 1 in 4 will have a college degree. We need to get more of our young people on a path to a college degree or on a path to a high-skilled, ultimately high-wage vocational education. And I think transforming those the public schools benefits everyone, whether they have young children or not.
So this is a huge issue, a massive issue in Boston. Representative Walsh, I mean, do you have any proposals or specific ideas on how you'd address education?
No, but in my time in the legislature, I've worked on education reform. The education reform bill that was passed in the legislature a few years ago that gave the city of Boston the opportunity to have more pilots, more Horace Mann charter schools. I'm currently on the board of a charter school in Dorchester Neighborhood House Charter School, so I've been involved in the educational advancing education for several years now. It's not new to me. It is a very important issue, but we also have to look at other issues. We have to look at issues around substance abuse services and substance abuse. We have, in some of our neighborhoods, it's plaguing our neighborhoods from West Roxbury to Roxbury to Dorchester to Mattapan. And I think we really have to start looking at those issues as well and getting more treatment, availability for treatment for families on the streets. And that's things that I want to work on.
Charles Yancey, let me ask you just briefly about education. It's one of those things that everybody in Boston really cares about, but for some reason, but people get frustrated because they don't see change happening fast enough.
Right. And they have every reason to be frustrated. I believe that we should actually invest more in the education of our children in the city of Boston.
But what specifically would you do?
Specifically,
then?
I would open Boston's first state-of-the-art high school. We set aside 15 acres of land for the purpose of building a new high school in the city of Boston. We have 4,000 Boston Public High School students attending classes in elementary school buildings and storefronts and basement of the YWCA on Clarendon Street. So I would really start there. Look at the basic educational infrastructure that we have in the city of Boston. I would stop closing our schools and start reinvesting at a higher level than what we've done in the past.
Councilor Jackson?
And I agree with Councilor Yancey that we need new facilities. As we've seen, Newton North has a brand new over $200 million high school. We need to have new facilities in the Boston Public Schools, but we also need better options and better choices. I know we've had this conversation about school assignment, but the school assignment aspect actually just really boils down to, and I think it's best said, there's 40 apples with 100 young people. The amount and number of quality seats is a huge issue. We also have to make sure that we look into and continue to focus on that issue of the achievement gap. 87% of students in the Boston Public Schools are Black, Latino, and Asian, and that concentration is even higher in non-test schools, in particular in our K-8. These are, in general, Black, Latino, and Asian kids, and we want to make sure that they do well. In addition to the thing that we see now, more parents are now enrolling their kids in kindergarten, which is also another issue in terms of our capacity.
Well, speaking of those young people, that gets me to another issue that I'd want to broach with all you gentlemen, and that is Boston is a majority minority city. It turned that corner quite some time ago, and there are a lot of people out there who say that the political leadership needs to begin to reflect that. So I'm going to open this to anybody who wants to be courageous enough to take it, but do you think that the next mayor of Boston perhaps should not be a white man?
I think the next mayor of Boston could very possibly be a person of color. I like white men. They're actually very nice. But I think we want to see folks vote their mind, vote their heart. And we've seen Roxbury, Dorchester, and Mattapan. And I think when you look at the data from what was written about Mayor Menino in his race, it showed that his strength in those neighborhoods was one of the things that really carried him through. But I think people are really connected to ideas. They're connected to a vision for the city of Boston. And I think that person could be a person of color. But I also would say people in our neighborhoods and communities also, again, are connected to their ideas and a vision. And it doesn't have to be.
Oh, so John Connolly, Marty Walsh?
I think it's very important that the leadership of the city reflect the residents of the city. But I think ultimately I hope that voters will choose the candidate who they think will be best. But I think every candidate is going to have to demonstrate an understanding that we are strengthened by we are strengthened by our diversity. We need to make City Hall more inclusive. And one of the calls I made in my announcement speech was that I want to make serious efforts to make sure that our police department reflects the city that it protects, that those who manage and lead in city government will reflect the city they serve. And I think you'll see the most diverse cabinet in the history of the city of Boston if I'm elected mayor.
And if I'm elected mayor, not that I've made
Charles
an announcement.
Yancey.
I haven't made an announcement. This is not an announcement. I believe that the next mayor has to have a tremendous amount of experience and expertise to deal with a very complex organization. We have more than 17,000 employees in city governments, and I think it's very important that whoever heads up that organization does so with commitment, compassion, and empathy for all of the people, whatever race or gender the next mayor would happen to be. So they have to certainly be familiar with the budget. They have to be familiar with the local ordinances. But more importantly, they have to understand the people that they represent. So I think diversity is important at all levels. We have far too many departments in city government today where there's less than 10% people of color in positions of authority. And that should certainly change.
Mr. Walsh, go ahead.
No, I'm listening to my colleagues here, and I appreciate all their comments. I think that, first of all, I think the people of Boston are going to elect someone to replace Tom Menino that can fulfill all the needs of all the people of the city. I've represented the 13th Suffolk District in Dorchester now for 16 years. I've been sent back 8 times. And my district, what I like to talk about is I have one of the most diverse districts, pretty much a microcosm of the city of Boston. And I think it's important to let people know that, you know, people can represent different people, whether it be Tito Jackson or Charles Yancey or John Conley or Marty Walsh. I don't think the city of Boston is necessarily going to vote. I think there are certain people that are going to say, yeah, we might want an Irish guy, an Italian guy, a person of color, a man, a woman. But I honestly think that this election is not going to be about that. I think this election is going to be about ideas and how do we take what Tom Menino has done and build on that. There's some work to be done. John spoke about education, and I think that there's some work to be done. We have to look at a portfolio of schools. We have to talk about what's going on in the street with the drug addiction and in the gangs and the crime, and how do we really try and continue to work with the police, what they've done, what the school department has done, what the mayor has done, and build on that to continue moving this city forward.
Well, let me, if I can, sorry, Mr. Jackson, but there's a comment on our Facebook page that I thought is actually a pretty good question, and so I wanted to throw it out to all of you. Steve Holt writes on Radio Boston's Facebook page, Mayor Menino was a longtime advocate of putting a casino at Suffolk Downs in East Boston. Do your guests believe that a casino is a good fit for the city, and would they continue to negotiate with Caesars and other casino companies? So there's an economic development question from Steve Holt. Who wants to take that?
Well, I'll be happy to.
Okay. And then Marty Walsh
to chime in. I believe that we have to do a thorough analysis of what the impact will be of a casino, the negative as well as the positive impact. We have to ensure that it does not harm the people in East Boston, and that the quality of the jobs there are significant enough for us to take this gamble, if I can use the pun, on casinos.
Mr. Walsh?
No. Great question. Thank you for that, Steve. I think certainly the voters of East Boston ultimately have the decision there, the people of East Boston. They will have the final say. If the people of East Boston don't want a casino, they're going to have an opportunity to vote a casino down. If they choose to put a casino in there, if they vote for a casino, there's certainly, I believe the city's been working with Suffolk Downs and trying to come up with some mitigation agreements. So this is going to be squarely, when we did the legislation in the legislature, and I was part of that, we made sure that there's local option to give the local cities and towns, and in this case, East Boston, and surrounding, Revere and Revere, the opportunity, if they choose they do not want a casino, they certainly have the right to vote it down.
Anyone else have a thought on casinos in East Boston?
I'd echo that sentiment, and that the way the law is written, it looks as though East Boston will have to have a referendum first, and I think you've got to defer to the will of the people in that neighborhood who are going to be most impacted.
And I also think, though, that when we look at contracts and jobs, that those jobs and contracts are ones that reflect the demographics of the city of Boston. We in the city of Boston have the Boston Residents Job Policy, and we would like to see people from all neighborhoods and communities have an opportunity to work on that job site and have workers that are reflective of the city of Boston.
Okay. We've got a lot of other comments on Facebook and our Twitter feed. I'm just going to read some of them. I don't necessarily need you guys to respond to them, but it sort of shows the breadth of interest that your potential voters have. For example, someone wrote on our Facebook page, they want to know about plans to make Boston even more bike friendly and more friendly to public transit. Someone else wrote on Twitter that they'd like to see a more hip, fun, lively city that isn't drab or rolls up the sidewalk
Me
so
too.
Early. And of course, there's always the issue, this is on Twitter and Facebook, of more affordable housing in Boston. So these are all the things that your potential voters will be coming to you, or as you come to them. But we've just just got a very little time left to go in the last few minutes here. And other than John Connolly, who has announced, if the rest of you do, you will be running against each other. So I was wondering if you might take a couple seconds to make your case as to why you think, again, if you run, that you're the person for the job. What distinguishes you, Tito Jackson?
Again, my name is Tito Jackson. I'm a District 7 Boston City Councilor. My background is in jobs and economic development. I worked at the state level with the Patrick administration and was able to create over 2,500 jobs. And I would be focusing on job creation, education, and a safer and cleaner city of Boston.
John Connolly?
I will continue to just make it clear I intend to remain a candidate for mayor. I will work every day to transform our schools. I'm a former teacher. I'm a Boston Public School parent, and I think changing our schools, transforming them to close the achievement gap, bring middle-class families back into the system is key to our future. And I'll also work very hard for safe and healthy neighborhoods and for a more transparent and open city government.
Marty Walsh.
I agree with my two colleagues, so I'm going to do that and build upon that. I think it's important for us. One of the tweets that you received was about low-income housing. And I think it's important for us, for me, as a candidate, and at some point I will be, we have to make the city affordable. We have to keep people in the city of Boston. People are leaving the city of Boston, whether it's cost of housing or education or what have you. And I think it's important. We're losing people. And I think we need to keep our families here in the city of Boston. And as I formally announced, I'll be able to unroll some more stuff. But I think it's important for us. One of the most important things is keeping people in the city of Boston.
And finally to you, Mr. Yancey.
Well, first of all, my name is Charles Yancey, a lifelong resident of Boston, product of the Boston Public Schools, Tufts University, and Harvard, where I got my graduate degree. I am a father and grandfather, and I will work very, very hard to make sure that the people of Boston benefit from not only this government, but the economic activity. So I will be pushing very heavily on residency, economic development, but most of all, education that benefits all of our children, irrespective of where they live. So I am not a proponent of limiting one's choice to one's neighborhood for education.
Well, I have to say, gentlemen, I have very much appreciated the civil demeanor of this conversation today, but I'm also looking forward to when you roll your sleeves up and truly campaign for the mayorship of the city of Boston.
Okay, Don King.
I know. I'm ready to go. We'll have you all back.
Good
delighted
job,
to have
Mike.
A debate when the race is on. So I was joined today by John Connolly, still a candidate for the mayor of the city of Boston, and also Charles Yancey, Tito Jackson, and Martin Walsh. Thank you all, gentlemen, for coming
today.
Thank
you very much for having us.
When we come back, we'll take a peek inside the suitcase of love and shame. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.